You putting together these two superstars, you have to at least make the finals.
Hmm.
Like, if you don't even make the finals, this is a massive failure.
All right, B, I'm going to be honest with you.
Scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you?
I'll say it was 6.
6?
I wasn't as surprised after I read it 2 times.
I feel you.
Like, the second time.
Yeah. I looked at it, I said, oh, the Bucks. And then I went, like, that's really how it happened. I was like, this isn't as crazy as I wanted it to be in my mind. And the reason being this wasn't as crazy as I wanted it to be, because I knew Portland was not bowing into the Miami Heat move. I pretty much sold in on the fact that no matter what Pat Riley showed up with at their door, they wasn't going to give it to him.
It seemed like that was the consensus. And it seemed like Pat Riley didn't really show up much either. So it was kind of like everybody was in like this staring contest.
Did you hear the reports?
Of what? Between Cronin and...
Yeah, Cronin and Riley were talking about.
Yeah.
So Cronin dropped... I mean, Riley dropped and said, hey, look, I'm willing to give you Hero, these picks, all that in the third.
Mm-hmm.
The offer we've all seen.
Yeah.
The offer we've all seen. Cronin comes back and said, hey, we want Jimmy or Bam. I'm like, all right, you're really not having trying to
You're not trying to have a conversation.
And so that's cool. Like, you know how it is. Like, hey, I got this really nice
when the
thing.
Counter offer is that ridiculous, you basically know that means like, they're not really trying to be at the table. They're just here out of courtesy, I guess.
Yeah, You playing games. We all play Monopoly. We all play Monopoly. You trying to make a little deal, a little trade. Shout out to my Uncle Darius. Y'all trying to make a little deal, a little move. And then he said, hey, I got a nice deal for you. And then he drops his trash deal, like, hey, you give me Park Place. And you could take this light blue, Carolina Avenue? Yeah, you could take that, and I give you $100. Like, come on, dog. Like, what are you playing with me? I'm not 8.
Throwing $100 on there.
Stop.
But we were at one point.
We were. I didn't take that deal. I've been around for a long time. I ain't never take that deal. I didn't take deals because I didn't trust him.
I won't go give you anything.
I won't give you anything. You can ask me whatever you want to ask me, unk. I know how you move. So,
and that's exactly what happened.
So, but no, I think that's what happened. And so when I got to that space, I was like, all right, somebody else is. And so we're hearing rumblings of Toronto. I didn't believe in Toronto. I didn't think Toronto had anything to work with.
I didn't think Milwaukee had anything to work with.
Amen.
But apparently they did.
Nah, I
got
think
it done.
Hey, shout out to Milwaukee. Shout out to Milwaukee. For those who do not know, I didn't even give y'all the deal.
Doesn't know about this deal by now?
For the people that listen that may or may not know, that live under a rock, whatever the case may be, proverbial rock. Or
hey, yo, we're your only source of NBA information. Hey, I salute you.
Thank you.
Love you. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. But everybody else heard about this deal already.
The Bucks received Damian Lillard. The Trailblazers will receive DeAndre Ayton from the Suns. Tumani Kamara from the Suns, Drew Holiday from the Bucks, the 2029 first-round picks from the Bucks, and 2 first-round pick swaps with the Bucks in 2028 and 2030. The third team that came in, which I've alluded to in DeAndre Ayton and Tumani Kamara, the Suns received Grayson Allen, Keon Johnson, Nazir Little, and Yusuf Nurkic. That is the 3-team deal that got Damian Lillard to the Milwaukee Bucks. Go ahead. It's on you.
No, I think this is the rare case of a win-win-win, in my opinion.
Yeah. So if you're grading it, what are you grading?
If I'm grading it, the Bucks get an A. Like, anytime you get a chance, and granted, I'm another person that's been very, like...
Critical?
Critical of Dame, definitely. But once again, I will also acknowledge Dame is a great player. Like, he's a phenomenal player. Anytime you get a chance to upgrade... I'm sorry, Juhad is a really good player, but anytime you get a chance to upgrade significantly... at that position, you take that swing and you go for it. We saw them do this with getting Holiday originally. Yeah. Like, they swung for the fences, and you got to give Milwaukee credit for that. Like, the funniest joke I've seen going around on Twitter the last few days is, like, people going, man, Milwaukee is doing everything Cleveland was supposed to do for LeBron. And it's like, pretty much. Like, that's essentially what it is. Like, they're saying, hey, you want a superstar? We'll get a superstar. You want to revamp? We'll get like, they have no if and buts about it. Like, we're going to keep swinging for the fence as long as we can and as long as you're here. So kudos to them. Like, they've done exactly what they were supposed to do. They went and got another superstar to pair with Giannis.
If ands or bucks about it.
Facts.
Look what you did there.
we caught it. For Portland, like, we've all heard about Portland. Like, I think Portland was never high on Tyler Hero, which is why I thought the deal was always going to be interesting. Like,
yeah,
I think they always wanted to just
invest. Is an interesting concept. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Even though I did kind of cut you off.
Go ahead.
It's an interesting concept because Miami is super high on Tyler Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Portland's not that high on Tyler Hero.
I don't think a lot of teams are high on Tyler Hero, though.
So do you think Miami is posturing Tyler Hero?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Because you want to know how I know Miami's not that high on Tyler Hero? Tyler Hero was available to play in the NBA Finals. And he didn't.
Do you think he was healthy enough to play? Even if he's available, do you think he was healthy enough to play? There's a difference between being available and different being...
Do I think a team that was struggling to put the ball in the basket had their second leading scorer sitting on the bench and was like, we're not even going to give him a shot? Like, to not even try. Like, he said he could play. He was cleared. Once again, I get it. Like, you're messing up chemistry possibly, but it won't like they were scoring.
I wasn't even thinking about the chemistry. I'm thinking strictly off of,
he said, yes,
you can be cleared. You can be available. But are you 100% to go finals. Into this series?
It's an NBA Finals. You got to leave it. Like, as a coach, once, if the player tells me he's ready, the medical staff tells me he's ready, once again, and they're telling me there's no risk of further injury.
Yeah.
I'm swinging for the fence. If I have faith in that guy. But if I don't, if I'm hesitant, that lets me know how I feel about that guy.
Mm.
Like, that's how I view it. So I don't think Miami is that high on Tyler Hero. I think they like him. But I think there are a lot of NBA teams that like him. But I don't think there's anybody that's like, oh, Tyler Hero is going to be this great player or he's going to continue to improve. I think he is what he is. Like, he's a volume scorer, not a great playmaker, not a good defender. He's just kind of trying to think of somebody else to kind of fall into the category. He's kind of like a Jordan Clarkson. Like, Jordan Clarkson is a really good player. Certain situations, but he's not somebody you really want to build around.
Okay.
He's just a guy you add to put icing on the cake. So yeah, I think Miami was definitely posturing there. So I think Portland got the player. I think we've heard about them being around DeAndre Ayton for a while now. So I think they got the player that I think they felt like they needed.
Yeah.
He's a young player, still very talented.
Yeah.
Clearly wasn't happy in the situation in Phoenix.
Nope. And it wasn't going to get better.
And it wasn't going to get better this year. And now he's going to a team where, while he may not be the face of the franchise, like, to me, I think it's going to be almost a very similar situation to LaMarcus and Dame, where LaMarcus for a while was the better player than Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Dame was just the more electric player, more exciting. Mm-hmm. And then eventually LaMarcus left and then Dame was able to kind of ascend. I think it's going to be very similar between Ayton and kind of Scoot in that way.
Okay.
Like, Scoot's the guy that's going to draw eyeballs. Like, oh, we want to watch Scoot play. But DeAndre's going to just go out there and quietly be 23-10 a night. Like, you just know what you're getting from
him. So you're calling for a 23-10 season for
me? I think that should be what's expected. Like, he was 20-10 in Phoenix when he was the second option.
Okay.
Like, now you're going to a situation where you'll probably be the first option for at least a little while.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing with guys who can play make. You're going to get the opportunities. Like, he should be averaging somewhere between 22 to 25 points a game and getting at least 10 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. Are they going to be a good team? No. But like I said, that's a solid building block. And DeAndre Ayton still being only, what, 24? Like, it's a perfect timeline going forward. Oh, 25. Yep, so he's 25 now. So, like, perfect timeline fit. Like I said, and a little bit older, but not too old. Still kind of solidly in his prime. I think it's a great pickup. Phoenix is doing what they need to do around their stars. They swung for the fence, Brad, Booker, KD. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. You just got to put players around them that aren't going to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And Nurkic, while has struggled the last few years, is still a veteran, knows how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling somebody the other day, like, all they really need from Nurkic to be is Zaza Pachulia. Like, if he just is a better Zaza Pachulia, it's a great pickup. Grayson Allen is a player who, once again, I don't like for a number of reasons, mostly because he went to Duke, other reasons because he's a little dirty, But in terms of an NBA team, like Grayson Allen is a solid NBA player. Like he comes in, he fits a role, he can put it on the floor, he can shoot it, he'll defend, he's hard-nosed. Nasir Little is another young guy who theoretically is another wing who can defend. Phoenix is just in a situation where they're just trying to put together a competent roster around three stars. And for the most part, they've done a decent job.
Yeah.
Still a lot of question marks, but I think there's pretty much question marks with every NBA team at this point. Like even Milwaukee, who we're going to talk about being possibly the favorite now, there are question marks. I've been scrolling through like all the depth charts and I've just been looking at teams.
Yeah.
There is no team this year, and I mean this with full sincerity, there is no team this year I'm looking at and saying,
that's the clear-cut favorite.
You're the clear-cut favorite. I don't see it. Even Denver, who I like a lot.
Yeah.
Losing Bruce Brown, not having as much depth that they did last year. Like, there's a question there of what can happen. So, there are teams I like more than others, for sure, but there's nobody I'm looking at like, yep, they got it. Yeah. Like, it's theirs to lose in some instance. So, I like this, though. I think it's a win-win-win. I think Milwaukee gets an A. I think Phoenix gets, like, a B. Portland gets, like, a B+.
I think they all did what they set out to do. I think they all did what they set out to do. Portland picked up another awesome trade chip. And Drew Holiday.
Facts.
And it's not even quiet.
That's the reason I give him the B+.
Loud. That was a loud move. They picked him another chip.
Because they're flipping him.
To go flip him. And he'll be on another playoff contending team before the week's out. Maybe 2 weeks.
It wouldn't shock me. Granted, I expect him to get moved before training camp. But it wouldn't shock me if he's there till the deadline either.
I don't see it.
I doubt it, but it wouldn't shock me either. Because it is just a very condensed timeline to make that trade happen again.
I think once they knew the move was the move, I think that's when GMs and all of them start. Von said, hey, look, we about to have Drew Holiday over here. What's the phone call? And the phone's been ringing off the hook. As soon as you make that move and you realize, oh, they got a player over there that doesn't fit the timeline and he is
solid.
One of the best perimeter defenders still at his age. Because he's, 34?
Yeah.
Still
34. Kawhi had a really good year last year. Had 19.75.
It wasn't quiet. Like Chris Middleton was out. In and out for the most part. And he ascended as a second option for a good time period.
Mm-hmm.
And he continued to be really, really great on the defensive end. And so because of that, like they ran into a buzzsaw that was Jimmy Butler. And then, of course, Giannis missed the first two games, I think. First two? Yeah, first two.
I thought he missed the last two. Was it the first two or the last two?
His first two of the series.
Oh, okay.
I think he missed the first two of the series, and then he came back.
I'll find out, but go ahead.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, buddy. Swing for the fences.
I love this. I love this move. The trade happened the night after the trade or the night of the trade or whatever. I get on 2K, talk to some guys. Shout out to Rob. Rob says, I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Don't see what?
I don't see how Dame is. He says Dame's a great player, but that doesn't necessarily make them the favorites in the East. And I was like, bro, I hear you. I love Drew Holiday. Love Drew Holiday. He is one of my favorite players in the NBA. Just the way he carries himself, the way he goes about his business, and just being consistent. Damian Lillard completely changes this team for the better. Completely. Is he a good perimeter defender as Drew Holiday?
Not even close.
Not even close, and he won't be. He won't be. But I told him, I said, Damian Lillard and Giannis are about to score. And it's going to be the easiest they've ever had it in their career to score. It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close how easy it's going to be for them to score. Because you look around, there is no way you cannot wall up double Giannis. Unless you're trying to concede 35, 40 points. Because that's what you're doing. 16 to 20 bunnies at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't wall up.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't double down in the post at some point. So you're going to have to wall that up. That means there's a one-on-one situation on the outside. Brooke Lopez can shoot. Chris Middleton can shoot. Bobby Portis can stretch out a little bit.
Pat Connaughton, Malik Beasley.
Like, all these guys can stretch out and knock down an open jump shot.
You're not wrong.
Which leaves Damian Lillard on an island with whoever you think is supposed to stay in front of him. Damian Lillard has played a lot of basketball over his career. I think he's played in the league for, 12 years?
Yeah, coming up on it.
He has never seen an island like the way he's about to see it in Milwaukee. And so he may not have wanted to come here, but he's about to have one of his best seasons. He's coming off his best season, even though he was hurt or he sat. I don't know. He played 58 games. But he averaged 32, what, 5?
And 7.
And 7?
Yep. 32, 5, and 7.
32, 5, and 7. He shot 47% from the field, 37 from 3.
Yep.
Like, he hooped last year.
He was balling.
He was balling.
Might have been his most impressive offensive season.
Like, so you're telling me he's coming off of that, and he's coming into a situation where he has essentially another number one option in Giannis that has to be doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of his physical presence, he has to be doubled.
Big facts.
I said, man, yes, he may not be able to guard a park cone. That may be the case. And I think with effort, he can stay in front of an off guard in the corner, whatever case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But you put those kind of bodies around him that are defensive minded, that can hold down defensively, and they can come on the other side and stretch the floor. Man, Giannis and Dame are about to see their most efficient seasons. Most efficient seasons. And that's a scary sight.
It is.
Because they're both pretty efficient alone.
Very true.
So I love that. I love that. This also takes pressure off Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton's aging, and he's been in and out.
I mean,
of the injury report.
Yes, but I can say those same things about Dame. I'm just putting that out there. Aging, yes. Injury reports have started to mount for Dame low-key as well.
I don't think it's been as prevalent as Chris, but okay. You got it. But in terms of Chris being that second option, being forced to be that second option, he doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Chris Middleton come in and put up 18 points a game, which is comfortable for him.
Very.
That's a comfortable space for him. 18 points a game, maybe even on the lower end. Let's say 16. Still comfortable. He can do it efficiently.
They're going to need more than that. They're going to need more than that.
Yeah. But even if he was to do it on the lower end, the beautiful part about the two guys at the top of the list in terms of the stars is that both those guys can take over. I mean, we saw it. We saw Giannis go for, and this is what the argument turned into, because he said, can they do it by themselves? I said, let's keep it a buck. Like, Giannis went into the finals and dropped a 50 ball to close that series out. Like, it was a long night. That's why Giannis was sitting over there crying. He said, man, I got it done because I don't know if I can go another game with y'all. He went and got a 50 ball to finish this off. Like, and so you telling me you got a guy that can do that from the inside. Then you have a guy that can do that from the outside, especially if you give him a one-on-one coverage situation. Like, this is beautiful, beautiful situation for both of them.
Yep.
And so the question now becomes, can they come together? How long will it take? How long will it take for, I guess, the chemistry to kind of gel, whatever case may be? But I don't even think that'll be a headache for real.
No, like, I think, so it's funny, right? Like, I think you've heard me say this before. Like, there's some moves you make to, like, improve your team in the regular season. Then there's other moves you make to improve your team in the postseason.
Facts. This is definitely a postseason move.
This is a postseason move.
Definitely.
Regular season, Milwaukee was the number one seed last year. Had the best record in the Eastern Conference. Like, but you get Dame to solve the problems that you ran into against Miami. Didn't have a quality shot creator on the perimeter.
Yep.
You didn't have somebody that could control the pace of the game. Didn't have somebody that can match Jimmy Butler shot for shot. Like, those are things you need in the postseason. Especially, well, while Giannis is one of the top 3 to 5 players in the world, without question, the problems in his game or the weaknesses in his game is, at the end of the shot clock, can he create a valuable look off the bounce?
Right.
The answer has been proven no. That's not his game. And I said from jump, it shouldn't be. That's not what you pay him to do.
Yeah.
He's a guy. He should be. And we're going to see a lot of it, I hope. Keep in mind, Bucks have a new coach this year.
Yes.
It's not Budenholzer. It's Adrian Griffin. Big. That's a big adjustment.
Big adjustment.
Like, we're going, that's the one I'm more curious to see than anything, how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Giannis this year, especially with Dame now having the ball, you're going to see him a lot more in pick and roll scenarios. He's going to be rolling to the basket. He's going to be commanding attention as he dives to the rim. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And teams are going to be forced to make the biggest question they have to answer. Do you cover Giannis rolling to the basket, or do you concede the pull up? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Dame's just going to have to make shots, which he's done his entire career.
Yep.
And Giannis is just going to have to accept the fact that, hey, there's going to be times you're not going to control the offense. If both of them accept that, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But either way, they're going to win 55 games in the regular season without trying. Oh, yeah. Like, I firmly believe that. I sat here last year before the season started, and I said, hey, I'm not high on this Milwaukee team. Why? Pretty much for the same reasons I'm have questions about them this year. We'll talk about those in a second. But either way, Giannis walks on the floor for 75 games, you win 50 of those. Like, that's just how that works. He's that good. You add Dame, you're at 50 wins, 55 plus wins easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a question of how this works in the postseason and the weaknesses that they still have in their roster. Is Dame enough to cover those now?
All right. Explain the weaknesses then.
The weaknesses are the same ones I still felt about them last year.
Okay.
I still think they aren't that athletic. Like, I still think the only top-tier athlete on this team is Giannis now. Dame's athleticism has started to waver. He's not as explosive as he used to be. He's not as quick as he used to be.
Okay.
Just a still a phenomenal scorer. Mm-hmm. So athletically, I still think they're not great. Their depth is definitely taking a hit. This roster, while, like I said, you're very top-heavy now. It's Dame, Giannis, Chris, Brooke. And after that, everybody else is kind of hit or miss. Bobby Portis is a really good bench player. Pat Connaughton is a really good bench player. Jay Crowder is up there in age, role player. Malik Beasley, role player. Like, it's just not a lot of guys, right? Mm-hmm. And granted, this would be the scenario no matter how it played out. But if any of the top three go down for any reason, you're kind of hit. Like, it really feels like that now. Okay. Even Chris Middleton going down would feel catastrophic just simply because they don't have a wing off the bench that can do what he does.
Fair.
So, and then I think defensively, they are going to have to figure out what they're going to do here. Going into the postseason, we see teams have exploited. Milwaukee has always had a top tier defense in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons for that is the scheme they run. They do a drop coverage. You got Brooklyn, you got Giannis on the back line. It's a lot of length and they're able to just kind of force teams to take bad shots.
Yeah.
That works in the regular season because teams don't scout as heavily. They don't prep their game plans to play you four times.
Mm-hmm.
So we see in the postseason, it's been exploited a number of times.
Yeah.
Where teams realize they know what you're doing. Every NBA team knows what the other team is doing at a certain point. So you get to the postseason and now, okay, Brook's always in drop coverage. Okay, cool. We're going to design how we're going to attack Brook Lopez in drop coverage. We're going to design how we're going to make sure Giannis is always somewhere where
flushed in the corner.
Flushed in the corner where he can't be the help defender that he is so great at.
Yeah.
That was already something that got exploited in the postseason with Drew Holiday as your point of attack.
Yeah.
Now, who's your point of attack defender that even makes guards uncomfortable?
Yeah.
In the drop. Like, there used to be like this idea of like, well, you can be in drop coverage. Drew Holiday's going to chase him and he's going to make him work. You ain't got that luxury no more.
Mm.
So I'm curious, like, are they going to run the same defensive scheme or are they going to switch it up? Like, I think they're very exploitable defensively. Like, we talked about last year. While Drew Holiday did get eaten alive by Jimmy Butler,
it was some tough shots.
Does anybody on this roster make Jimmy Butler take a tough shot?
I mean, Chris Middleton.
Maybe. Is anybody going to make Jason Tatum take a tough shot? Jason Tatum makes tough shots on his own. Like, he forces himself to take tough shots. But
yeah,
is anybody going to make Jason Tatum uncomfortable here? Outside of maybe Chris Middleton. Nah. That's a worry for me.
I get that.
So, once again, not to say they can't overcome these things. Dame and Giannis may be so great offensively that it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a possibility there. And once again, they may change up their defensive scheme. They may do something different. I don't know. But just looking at this roster and knowing what we've seen about them, that's a worry for me. Mm. So are they one of the favorites? Absolutely. Like, there's no question. If you walk in with Dame, Giannis, and Chris, you have a very good chance of winning. Mm-hmm. But there are things that are exploitable with this team, and I think there are teams, namely Boston, who are designed to exploit them in some way.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the only team that I could think of on the East side where I'm like, all right, who?
You know the other one, but we're not going to talk about them because we have no faith in them.
Stop.
It's Philly.
Stop.
I know. Stop. But they're designed to exploit them. Stop. They are. Tyrese Maxey, James Harden pick and roll, downhill, Embiid on the roll. They're all I'm saying is they're designed to. Do either one of us actually think they'll pull it off? No. But in theory, they could. They got wing defenders.
I see. Yeah, some of the same issues are still present. Yeah. I think going into Looking at the postseason last season and that first round versus Miami, Milwaukee came up. Essentially, all those games were pretty much close. You know, there was big shots here, big shots, big misses here, big misses there, like pivotal moments that kind of like wasn't that many. It wasn't a blowout situation. And so it wasn't like Miami was head over heels better than
they were not
Milwaukee. It came down to, like you said, Jimmy Butler's making shots and no one on Milwaukee could get a clean look.
Or look comfortable creating a look.
Right.
Let's say that.
And because of that, if you're telling me that even in their old age, lack of depth, all that in the third, right? We're talking about a make or miss situation into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And Giannis has essentially backpacked for 3.5.
And Dame just has to get you over the finish line. It's a good scenario to be in. Like, can't argue with that.
And Dame has proven in a lot of scenarios where he is capable of doing that. And once again, he has never been put in a situation where he can stand next to someone that can command so much attention. He has always been the most attention on the court for the majority. I say
for 75-85% of his career.
Yeah. He has been the attention. Now he's going onto the court where there is someone there that demands more attention than him because you just don't want to give up that many easy shots.
It's facts.
And so because of that, I think we're looking at a situation as long as the Chris Middletons, the Brook Lopez, the Bobby Portises, the Pat Contons, the Malik Beasleys can come in.
That's such a drop off in names. I'm not gonna lie.
I know. But if they can be the supporting cast they were last year, essentially, they can be that supporting cast they were last year.
Yep.
And we still have that same fourth quarter scenario where it's a 5-point game, 3-point game, 1-point game. My money is on those two to get it done.
I feel like that. I can't argue with that logic.
Especially after what we've seen from everybody else in the East. Like, I love Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But hey, we saw what we saw. Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat took a step back by not getting this move done.
Yeah.
Like, they spent their whole offseason.
They banked on this.
On this move. And they didn't get it done. So, I know they were a playing team last year.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know. Like, I do not think they're just coming back. And for what we saw from them, they're not, like, they weren't great last season.
No, they weren't.
Like, so.
Well, it was another example of Miami getting hot at the right time and some favorable matchups.
Right. And
like,
even
Giannis getting hurt, like, changed that series significantly.
It definitely played a factor.
So.
And then they lost pieces that played a huge factor in that series. Gabe Vincent is gone.
Struce
is gone. I'm missing somebody. Is Caleb still there? Caleb Martin still on the roster?
Nope. He wasn't there last year, though. Oh, no, he's still there.
He was there last year because he had that big moment versus Boston.
Yeah, you're right. He's still there.
He's still there? Okay. Yeah. So, like, those two names are gone, and they both play two key factors in it. So now you're going to be leaning heavily on guys that essentially you wasn't even prepared to lean on last year. And so, like, the East didn't still, the East as a whole still has a bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if Milwaukee can continue to be consistent in terms of what the core looks like and add in a Dame Lillard,
yeah,
then
like that,
they, and in my mind, they are, it's 1A, 1B situation between them and Boston.
Yeah.
And like, at that point, it's about, did Jaylen Brown elevate his game to be prepared? Is Kristaps Porzingis healthy to prepare themselves for this moment? Can Jason Tatum play at an MVP level consistently for a 7-game series? That becomes the question. Because what they're going to show, what Milwaukee's going to show me, is what they've always showed me plus a Dame. And that's what I think. Great of the trade. Seeing how Dame fit. Bucks, NBA title favorites. They're up there with the rest of them in terms of that upper echelon. I would say that top five.
Mm-hmm.
Is there now a level of pressure for them to win this season?
Yes.
Is it the most pressure?
Yes.
For sure.
Only other team I can put that maybe has more, well, only two, I'll say, is Phoenix and the Clippers.
Yeah.
It's the only other two.
Agreed.
Everybody else is playing. Like, I'm saying this as a Laker fan who always walks into every season saying championship or bust.
Yeah.
The Lakers are playing with house money.
You don't think Boston has
no
an immense amount of pressure to win after last season?
No. There's pressure, yes, but is it more than the Bucks? No.
Nah. Okay.
Because here's the reason I'll say that. Boston, while yes, has some pressure. Like,
I think their expectations
should
be,
their expectations should definitely be championship. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But Boston can easily pivot out of their situation. Like, you move off Tatum or Brown, whoever you choose.
Yeah.
You can move off Kristaps. You can easily pivot out of their situation and just go in a different direction.
True.
I don't know how Milwaukee pivots out of their situation anymore. Anything pivoting now is a failure. Because the only pivot you have left is Dame. And, like, you're not moving either one of them. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton isn't bringing you anything back that's crazy.
Fair.
You're what you have now is it. You have to win with it.
Mm.
So, Boston, and once again, and the other reason being, Tatum and Jaylen Brown are locked up. Giannis technically isn't yet.
Yeah.
If this goes horribly, God forbid, you ain't got no wood around here, but God forbid, thank you, Keith.
I got
God
you.
Forbid, Dame Lillard tears something.
Yeah.
And he's out and may never be the same at the age of 34.
Yeah.
Giannis can look at that and be like, hey, man, I appreciate y'all tried, but now we stuck. I gotta move.
Yeah.
Like, the Bucks, and maybe it's more so because I've been critical of Dame, but like, you putting together these two superstars, you have to at least make the finals.
Hmm.
Like, if you don't even make the finals, this is a massive failure. Because Dame is 34, will be 34 this year, be 35 next year. Like, he ain't, like, I know we like to act like players' primes get extended super long. Dame has been battling injuries for the last 3 years. Like, we keep acting like that's not a thing because mostly he's been out of the public eye in Portland.
Yeah.
Dame has been battling injuries for the last 3 years. 2 years ago, you and me sat on this couch talking about, is Dame done? Because he was battling that, what was it, appendix or something?
Yeah.
Like, we sat here and had the conversation of, is Dame done? Because he looked horrible. Mm. Granted, the injury was valid.
Yeah.
He fixed it. He came back this year and had an amazing career. But injuries don't go away at the age of 34. They can pile. So you have a 2-year window here, in my opinion, for Milwaukee to get it done. And then you have to, once again, try to find a whole another way to revamp around Giannis. That's a lot of pressure. Boston, you got 6 more years to take them.
I also think Boston has, for the most part, the past few years, they've done what you've expected them to do.
Yes.
They've performed the way you expected to. every now and then they might lose in the conference finals just because they met them dogs or something. But like overall, they did what you expect them to do, and with the pieces they have.
True. They have done what we've expected them to do because we realized that we've expedited their clock because they're a younger team. They were a younger team, younger core that just kept succeeding in the postseason a little too much.
Too early.
Too early. And we were like, wait a minute.
From
like,
the jump.
Like, all right, y'all a lot better than we expected.
Getting at it.
You're right.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's cool. But now you're squarely in your prime.
Facts.
You're squarely in your prime. You've been to a finals.
Yep.
And then you came off that finals and you folded against the Heat.
They met them dogs.
You folded against the 8 seed. You did that. And so now we're looking at you like, oh, you're getting these bags. Jaylen Brown just got a 300 M bag.
Facts.
Jason Tatum's about to get a 350 M bag.
Yep.
Like, y'all, what, 27, 28 now? 26, 27, 28?
What, 20? I thought it was 25 and 26.
25, 26. Ooh. 25 going to be 26, 20, mm-hmm. 27. Y'all squarely in y'all prime. Yeah. Y'all have seen everything y'all supposed to see leading up to this point.
Facts.
If the timeline is right. If the clock is right,
it's time to get at it.
It's time to get one.
It's time
to get one. And then we went out and we cashed in and got you even better help. That's a lot. I'm sorry. Like, I get, like, Milwaukee has pressure, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boston has more pressure simply off of them building to this moment with this. And we just know, like, y'all
the traction that they had before.
Yeah, like, the momentum is there. Y'all been doing this.
But think about the unknown possibility of Milwaukee, though.
Hmm?
The unknown possibility of Milwaukee is the thing that adds the pressure. It's like, what is this going to look like?
I get that. No. I'm not taking away from that. Like, I agree. Like, there is a level of unknown mystery that we don't know what's in that box if we open it. And we really don't want to open this box. We like
it's a box.
Yeah. This is definitely a deal or no deal situation. Yeah. I hope I got the 100. I got the M. Like, I hope that's me. We look at a situation where it just seems super duper underwhelming if they keep coming up this close and missing. And yes, can they pivot off of it? Yes. But even in the pivot, it's like, we believed in this so much so we were willing to cut 350 M's on that. And it didn't work.
My thing is like...
Like, even the pivot is a failure.
The pivot is a failure, but like, it depends on what you get out of it. Like, we've seen this throughout NBA history of teams start somewhere, they have really young talent, and then they got to make a move. Either things don't work out, somebody gets unhappy, whatever the reason.
Yeah.
But then they end up having to pivot. And normally the pivot is normally what puts you over the top.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally the funny part about the pivot. Mm-hmm. It's normally the move that finally says, you know what? That's what we actually needed to figure out how to win a championship. I think Boston is in that mode. I think, to your point earlier, the reason the expectations are so high is because we kept seeing them get so much closer than they probably were supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, they kept getting closer than they were probably supposed to. But the run they've been on, I give you, has been insane. Now, Tatum is starting to firmly hit his prime. But let's keep in mind, Tatum is what, 25?
Yes.
LeBron didn't win his first one until 27.
Facts.
Jokic just won his first one at 28.
Facts.
I think. Who was it? I'm trying. Jordan didn't win his first one until he was 26, 27. Like, yes, to your point, this is the time it's supposed to happen. But if it doesn't,
it's only the beginning.
And here's the question I have to ask you, because this is really what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tatum actually in that class? Is he in the Giannis, who won his first one, I think, at 26, 27? Mm-hmm. Is he in the LeBron? Is he in the Jordan?
The talent would suggest it.
I don't think it does.
The talent suggests Jason Tatum. I don't think
he's one of them.
Whoa.
I don't. I think he's really, really, really. I think he's in the Clyde Drexler class.
Whoa. Yes. What? No.
Has he proven anything to prove otherwise yet?
The talent suggests
Clyde Drexler was a talent. Let's
he
stop
was
him.
A talent.
He was look, a dog.
Don't make me.
He was a dog.
See, you're doing the thing where you make it sound like I'm insulting Clyde Drexler. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is, we have seen this young man from essentially his arrival carry strong
when you literally walked into the team with Isaiah Thomas, Jaylen Brown, and like. Carries a strong word.
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown was just became the best player like 3 years ago.
Jaylen Brown was averaging what, 13, 14 points
when it was his first year in the league.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, while yes, they did show this level of similarities in how they were ascending in terms of production. Mm-hmm. Talent-wise, we always looked at Jason Tatum It is him. It is him.
I'm not arguing
that. And each moment leading up since then, we have shown there has been a level of separation Jason Tatum has shown between the two. And I love Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown is an all-NBA caliber kind of guy. But Jason Tatum is an MVP caliber guy. That's talent-wise.
So is Clyde Drexler.
And so be...
Hey, just keep going. Keep going. Just keep...
Hey. And so because of that, because Jason Tatum is one of that, and he's been doing it since his arrival, if you ask me, mm-hmm. he is definitely... talent-wise, in the class of them. Definitely in the talent class. And which makes me have to ask, because what you've said, mm-hmm. what you said is Luka's in that class.
Yeah.
Luka's in the class of a Giannis. Luka's in the class
I think Luka's a much better player than Jason Tatum. Like, I don't think it's close. Like, I don't think it's close between the two. Like, I think if Luka had walked into a team with Jaylen Brown on it, we would be having a much different discussion about the Western Conference right now.
That is a different... I think that's where we differ. I think Jason Tatum and Luka are on the same level.
Nah, I don't see it. I'm sorry. I'm going to disagree with you. Hmm. This is where we'll agree to disagree.
Like, and I'm not going to yell today.
I'm not either.
I'm not going to yell.
You got it.
But like, they're on the same level in terms of what the... Now, does it look the same? No. But talent-wise, ability.
I'm going to disagree with you, but I feel you. I understand.
Jason Tatum is one of them for the next.
I think he's going to be a great player for the next 10 years. I'm not disagreeing with you.
No. Not just great player. He's going to be one of them for the next 10 years.
So is Clyde Drexler, dude. I'm not even trying to be insulting. I'm being dead serious. Clyde Drexler at his peak was considered one of the top 5 to 10 players in the world. Yeah. His peak. That's what he was. But we also understood he was never Jordan.
And see, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Yeah. You put in Luka, in terms of comparison, you put Luka in the class of the Jordan era, in that era. And you're putting Jason Tatum a tier below. And that I will not allow you to
do. That's fine.
I will not allow you to do.
Like, we're gonna watch it play out. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I ain't mad at
we will.
Like, so I mean, this, this is one of these things we'll come back to in 10 years. One of us is gonna be right, one of us is gonna be wrong. Sure. And that's fair.
Who else do you think is in that class?
In that class?
Your class might just be bigger than Bryant.
No, I think for the next generation. So this is conversation I saw. This conversation is Gilbert Arenas. No, it was Pat Bev. It was Pat Bev, Spencer Dinwiddie. They're having a conversation about superstars. They said NBA players normally consider 5 guys to be superstars, and then everybody else is stars. They said fans normally don't do that. I said, which fans? And then, of course, I went, there's a lot of fans. I said, it's a lot of fans. I said, not me, not the guys I talk to, mm-hmm. not talk about basketball, but we are a different set of fans. So okay. I get it. I say 5 superstars.
Okay.
5 clear cut. That's the class, mm-hmm. the S tier class for the next generation. And I don't know if Giannis is this generation. I would consider.
Yeah, he's next. This generation.
Like he's a tweener.
He's stuck. He literally is in that perfect spot between the LeBron era and like.
He's a tweener. Like, Jokic is a tweener.
Yeah,
I think
their time is now.
Yeah, Embiid. When you put in this class?
Yeah, Embiid's this.
Embiid's this.
They're all 29 to 27. Like
what about Steph? Steph a tweener?
Steph is past.
He's Steph last.
He's the past.
He with LeBron in
crazy as to say. Yeah, he's LeBron. He's LeBron. With them. Mm-hmm. He's Chris Paul, LeBron in them. All
right, continue.
So if I had to pick 5, and mm-hmm. I really haven't thought about this all the way through. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick 5, Luka's definitely in it. Jason Tatum is in it.
Okay.
Then.
This is where it gets iffy.
It gets iffy.
Devin Booker? Because you can't.
He's like, working his way in there.
So like that to me is wild.
Yeah, he's working like
that to me is wild because wild. I'm trying to figure out what has Tatum done that Devin Booker hasn't.
Yeah, if I say Tatum's A, Devin Booker's also
he has
A.
to be.
Okay, so, all right.
And if any, and no offense, if anything, Devin Booker walked into a worse situation than Tatum did.
That's a fact.
And elevated.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yes.
That's a fact. I was, yes. Yes. So, 1, 2, 3. Luka, Book, Tatum.
Anthony Edwards.
The jury's still out.
Ooh.
The jury's still out.
Fair enough.
I agree.
I think. Shea?
The jury's still out.
Ooh. That's your boy.
That is my guy.
That's your boy.
But he's been in a situation where it's been a lot of rebuilding around him. A lot of rebuilding around him. He has been doing a lot of good things, but the jury's still out.
Okay. Trae Young?
No.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, keep throwing names. I need help.
I'm thinking. I'm trying to
throw names. Throw names.
I'm thinking. I'm looking, trying to figure out who else I would put into kind of that class.
So you would put Devin and
John Morant. Trey?
Ja, nah, he needs some time. It depends what he does this year.
Now it's controversial. Now I sound like a hater. I want to put Ja in that class.
Okay.
So, I want to put John in that
but,
class.
However,
I want to put John in that class. I think, once again, the jury's still out.
Okay.
As it should be.
I can't.
But the talent suggests, for the names you called for, the talent suggests in terms, there's only one name that I say the talent keeps them a tier below.
Is that Trey?
That's Trey.
Ooh.
Interesting.
The rest of them,
all right.
The talent suggests, if they elevate, they continue to elevate.
It's too early to talk about Victor.
It's entirely too early to talk about
just
Victor.
Check him. 2K had him up there.
It's entirely too early to talk about Victor. If Victor is somehow on God's green earth has the Spurs at a 9-10 spot.
Hey.
Hey, yo. All right, cool.
This is a Spurs podcast now.
Cool. if he managed to have them in a play-in situation, then he's in there.
He got it.
Fair enough.
He's in there. But all bets are he will be in that class as well. But
Tyrese Maxey?
People love Maxey. I love Maxey.
I love Maxey too.
I don't know though. Like there is something about him.
I think it's just the situation he's in. Like he's just never.
And that may be the case.
He's just never going to be able until I guess he either gets away or maybe James Harden gets away from Philly. Like I don't know if we'll ever see him maximized.
Yeah.
Fully.
That may be the case.
But yeah, like I was just thinking, like I'm just throwing out names now. Like that just like, once again, because you're saying the talent suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, it's not just talent. Granted, that's a big factor in it. But it's like, it's what I've seen you do. Like,
right. And Tatum has shown.
But Tatum has shown to be a really, really great player.
Mm-hmm.
Who's also been fortunate to be put into really great situations.
Yeah, I'm not going to take away, like, we don't take away from Larry Bird for being put in a great situation.
He went to a 29-win team and made him a 53-win team. That's not a great situation.
We don't take away from Magic Johnson being put in a great situation.
That's a great
point. We don't take that away from them. Like, I don't understand. Boston did a good job of surrounding him around good talent consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And the talent elevating. Cool. And great coaching. Cool. Like, we can't change that. The haves and the have nots.
So
it depends on what you do with it.
It's not
And Tatum has done great with what he's had.
He absolutely has. And it's not me knocking you for it. Like
I
really hope it's not coming off that way. Cause like I'm not knocking you for it. But what I am doing when I have to compare you to somebody else and say who's better, who has more talent, who's doing more. Like I look at Luka's situation and I'm like, yo. Luka literally gets handed scraps and makes it viable. Like, we watched him from the moment he got to the Mavericks. Mavericks became a decent team. Then they became a playoff team. Then he's going toe-to-toe with Kawhi, hitting game winners. Then he's going 7 games with Kawhi in them. And then he's in the conference finals. And his best player was Jalen Brunson, who before he ascended, and granted, there's probably a little because they didn't really play that great together. You had Kristaps, but Kristaps got hurt. Like, he's never had the consistency around him that Tatum has had
growth. It's similar to the argument we've had and with Tamon of what counts as like the most valuable player. Right? Like there's someone who's really good on their team, and then there's the person who brings the most value to winning on their team.
I think that's Tatum for Boston too. Don't
and making
get me wrong.
And making that difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like a similar argument of where you want to get somebody in.
Yeah, it sounds like what B is suggesting that Luka definitely is more valuable to the success of
his team
of Dallas than Tatum is to Boston.
I think my point is simply more if Luka had what Tatum had when he walked into the league, I think he would have gotten a championship by now. I think if Tatum had went to Dallas, we would be talking about Tatum like we talked about Devin Booker for a while. He'd have been a great scorer, putting up a bunch of points and losing. Like, that's what I see. But to me, that's always the difference in how great players are.
I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if I can say that because I don't. Because for everything that Luka does right, there's a lot of things Luka doesn't do well.
That's
at
fair.
All. Like,
but imagine Luka.
Like, I mean, like.
But imagine Luka having guys around him, having a coach around him who was like, hey, yo, this is how you win. We've been winning before you.
Yeah.
We're going to show you how to win. We just need you to be great at what you do.
Fair. And that's the thing. You can plug in a great player, plug out a great player, and yes, it still looks really, really good. Like,
fair.
You can, I don't know. Like, I'm cool with that. I get that. I just don't, when we look at, you look at someone who's been given this, all of this freedom,
mm-hmm.
and Luka,
fair.
And saying like, hey, we're giving you the keys to everything. The offense, how we're going to move, how things going to be. You go take the shots you want to take. You make the moves you want to make. And we'll figure things around you. Mm-hmm. Now, how well they did that, yes, your point. It's been scraps. It hasn't looked the cleanest, hasn't looked the best at times. At any time. At least now. And it still kind of looks a little shaky right now.
Fair.
This Kyrie will be the best player he's ever played with.
Facts.
This coming season. And I don't count last year because Kyrie showed up last minute.
They played like 10 games the other
day. So, yeah, so that this will be easily his best teammate he's ever had. But still, even in that, like, the freedom a guy has, a great player has, mm-hmm. to just go out and do his thing that he's been able to do is different than any other situation what Jason Tatum was given. Because you're right, he's coming into a solidified situation where everything is pretty much laid out, planned out. Boom, boom, boom. You got to plug in here and you got to be great within this. Mm-hmm. Like, it isn't, this feels more Spurs-esque than what Luka was mm-hmm. afforded. It really wasn't afforded. It's just like, oh, do your thing. Paint whatever you want to paint on this canvas. It's on you.
It's facts.
And so, because he's great at that,
You know what a great example of this is? It's Kawhi and KD. Like, KD went to OKC with nothing. Eventually, he got Russell Westbrook and everything, which kudos to him. Mm-hmm. But he had to build that culture from the ground up to some extent. And granted, wasn't successful in winning, but just pointing out the similarities. Whereas Kawhi went to San Antonio, and it was, hey, dude, we just need you to be a 3-and-D guy for a little while. And then as time goes on, we'll baby step you into becoming a superstar.
But here's the, no. I don't think they ever thought he would be a superstar.
Who, San Antonio?
I don't think San Antonio looked at him and said, that's a superstar.
No, they did after, like, when they started to have those finals runs with him, they thought he was a superstar.
Finals runs. But
that was like year three. That's my point. Like, that was year three.
But I'm talking about when we look at them draft day.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at Luka draft day.
Don't forget they traded for Kawhi, too.
Yes, they traded for Kawhi. But we looked at draft day, and we look at Luka, and we look at Jason Tatum. And then we look at them ascending at the same pace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You couldn't separate the two of them. I couldn't.
I did.
I couldn't.
You know I was very high on Luka from jump. I thought Luka was the number one player in the draft. It won't close. I don't know why we were even having discussions about it. I don't know how he didn't go number one.
Nah, bro. Nah, I like Luka a lot.
I didn't feel that way about Tatum.
I think Luka's one of them. But I looked at Luka's game. I look at Jason Tatum's game. And I'm like, hey, this is an apples to orange situation. Like, both these dudes are going to be here for a long time.
Oh,
and they're going to be the class of the next generation. Like, that's how I looked at them. I say it's really going to come down to if their franchises afford them any opportunities. Like, that's really what's going to come down to. Because talent-wise, it may look a little different. They both are them. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And so I don't know. I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you can look at Jason Tatum and think he's a whole tier below in terms of the future like that. I just don't. I don't know what basketball you're watching.
I think he'll be one of the top 10 players in the world for a very long time. Like, I don't disagree with that. But do I think he's going to be... he'll ever be a top three? We're going to find out.
I believe that's a top three basketball player for the next generation. That's a top three basketball player for the next generation. I think Luka's a top three basketball player for the next generation. Who that third person is, like I said, the jury is out.
Okay.
I like to believe it's going to be Shea. I like to believe it's going to be Shea.
I bet you do. I
like to believe it's going to be Shea. Because they keep doing their thing over there. They keep putting pieces around him. If Chet Holmgren comes along, he's just an all-star. That's all he needs to be. And I just need somebody.
Save it for the season preview.
Yeah. But we're getting out of here. We're getting out on that. But no, for real. Like, y'all let us know. Y'all let us know what y'all think. Is Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic in the same conversation in terms of talent-wise? And do y'all think that both of them are in the same class? That's a good question.
It's a very good question. Like I said, we'll agree to disagree on this one. The beauty of this whole thing is, in 10 years, one of us will be wrong, one of us will be right, and we'll dap it up and keep it moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if y'all both wrong?
If we both wrong, then the NBA took a wild turn.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Yeah.
If we're both wrong, the NBA did something crazy. Cooper Flagg is the truth.
Yeah. Yep. That boy is nice, though.
He is.
That boy is nice. I don't know if y'all, go Google Cooper Flagg if y'all haven't yet.
If that's how this plays out.
You know how nice you got to be for rumors to come out that you busting people and busting real NBA talent? And
he came out and said it wasn't true, though.
Of course he did. Because he's true.
A smart young man.
It wasn't true. But the fact that people actually contemplated that.
It was like, yeah, he was giving Bradley Beal the business. And I was like, well, Bradley Beal ain't played defense in 3 years. So. Oh,
man. Hold on, man. That's an NBA basketball player. Who got ball first? Bradley Beal not giving up the ball.
Last question, because we didn't get to this team.
Yeah.
But how comfortable are you with Phoenix's roster going into next season?
Good question. I'm sorry. It looks a lot like Brooklyn for KD again.
Hey, it's what he wanted, baby.
It looks a lot like Brooklyn for KD again. I love the fact that when he got Eric Gordon.
Yep.
Cool. I'm cool with that. I like Damian Lee. I like him. I'm and this is depth.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's clear cut on Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant.
Yep.
It's clear cut. I don't think we need to overstate that. So you got Grayson. You went and got Grayson Allen in this trade. You went and got
Nasir Little and Nurkic. They're gonna cut Keon Johnson.
So you went and got them. Cool. And that definitely adds to the depth of this team. I still question, and this will be my question on any KD team that he chooses to pick from here on out, because he has never seen an offense that is actually structured around some level of cohesion. Everything has been just one-on-one, go
ISO ball, baby.
ISO ball, hero ball basketball. The question remains, will they be able to share the ball? Will they be able to share the ball? Like, that's my only question. Defensively, long night. I mean, they're doing what Brooklyn wanted to do.
Yeah.
Just first to 120. First to 120. And I mean, and this is why I didn't understand Phoenix when they fired Monty Williams. Because you went and got Frank Vogel.
Yeah, that was weird.
I'm not a hater on Frank Vogel. This ain't his kind of roster.
I'm a hate on because I thought it was a... I mean, I get it. There's only 30 jobs in the NBA.
I'm not going to hate Frank Vogel is what I'm saying.
If I was one of his friends, I would question him. Because I'd be like, are you sure you want to coach this team? This is nothing like you. This roster looks nothing like what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. And my questions lean more towards the front office than it does Frank Vogel or even the players.
Yeah.
It leans more towards what is this Matt Ishbia, the new owner, and and James Jones, what do they see out of this? And because this is a big swing and a miss in October. Like it looks really, really good. This is what the Yanks do. This is what the Yankees do.
The Yanks.
Like, this is what they want to do. Like, you go and get all of this top-end talent. Your batting average is going to look really, really good.
You ain't stealing no bases, though.
You ain't stealing no bases. That OBP is not cute. And defensively?
Defensively. Doesn't exist.
Where's the bullpen?
Hey.
Like, that's the problem I see with this roster. That's the problem I see with this roster. It looks very similar to something George Steinbrenner would have done. And because of that, and I get it, because Matt Ishbia is new. He wants to make a big splash. He's doing it a lot of different ways. We'll have that conversation later for a later date. He's doing it a lot of different ways, all the way down to cutting out the cable and giving the team back to, like, the local TV stations to watch the games locally. Like, I like a lot of things he's doing. Yeah. This is a swing, and it's not going to work. Hey, this is
not going to work. It's not going
to
work.
This, they're going to lose in the conference finals to me. They're going to lose the conference finals. Okay. Like, if they saw Denver, respectfully, they saw Denver, I still think I'm giving the edge to Denver. If they saw LA, if LA is healthy, I might give the edge to LA. Like, if the Clippers healthy in that first round and versus a team like this, I might give the edge to the Clippers. And this is because I'm a hater, because I love all three top tier players. I love Kevin Durant. I've been praying for Bradley Beal to be in a situation like this. And I love D-Book. I love these guys. This is very similar to what I said about Brooklyn. I like the names. It does not work. It will not work. Especially if you don't have an offensive-minded coach that can help them share the ball in clutch moments when the defense is tighter, when people are scouting better, and when the people are putting pressure on you and walling you up. Essentially what they would do with Kevin Durant. Because it'll look very similar. It'll look very similar to what KD looked like versus that in that Boston series. It'll look very similar. I don't know how much time I got, Keith. I'm going. But, like, I don't know, bro. I don't know. Like, the jury is still out. It looks cute. The jury is still out.
Ditto.
bet.
Nah, this team is... Like I said, it is what it is. Like, it's going to be a team that's going to be a lot of fun to watch in the regular season. And in the playoffs, I have no faith in what they're going to try to accomplish. They're definitely in a situation if any of, just like Milwaukee a little bit, if any of the big three go down for any significant amount of time, like,
so
it's kind of over. I think if any of them go down in the regular season, they're going to be kind of hit. Like, I don't know if they can sustain winning at a high level in the regular season, because I do think one of the main things Frank Vogel should be focused on this year is limiting Kevin Durant's minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have to. He's been injured every year for the past 4 or 5 years.
Hey, look, I said this in the barbershop. My homeboy is a huge Kevin Durant fan. So therefore, he made himself a Phoenix Suns fan. I said, hey, quietly, Kevin Durant is descending. Like, he's on a nice steady decline. In terms of,
he's been like that since the Achilles injury.
Like, he's on a quiet decline, and we
No, he said it makes sense, and it does. Like, if players come back from Achilles injuries, they aren't always the same. And granted, Kevin Durant's still amazing. I think we definitely got blinded by one, that Milwaukee series where he went insane.
Yeah,
and then the fact that we kind of forget that Kevin Durant is 6'10", 6'11", and can shoot.
Yes,
literally, he can walk into an NBA game and get 25 a night.
Yes.
Like, it's not difficult for him to do that. No. What is difficult for him to do is defend at a high level still, rebound at a high level, still shoot shots at a high percentage, and get to the basket. He can't get to the basket anymore. Like, it's obvious, and teams know it.
Yeah.
They're planning for it.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, the decision has happened. Now, does that mean Kevin Durant won't be one of the top scorers in the NBA this year? Absolutely not. He's going to average 25 in his sleep because he's that good. I think there's a very realistic scenario where they walk into the playoffs next year and Devin Booker's the best player on the team.
And that's what I said. That's exactly what I said. And I closed it out. I said, D-Book is still the best player on this team come playoff time. And if you wanted somebody taking a final shot in the last, I don't know, minute and a half to close out the games and stuff like that, I'm probably giving the ball to D-Book. Because KD is going to be getting matched up and pressured the entire game. And while he looks, he's going to look really, really good from quarters one through three. In that end of the third, end of the fourth, we're going to see him wearing.
Them legs which, gonna go.
And that midi is not going to fall like it was. He's going to be looking for more fouls. And he's going to be looking for more easy situations. And because this team isn't built on that, because this team isn't built on actually accessing easy situations,
mm-hmm. not gonna find
and easy sets, they're going to be out of luck. And so guess what they're going to do? They're going to give it to the other guy that's been in this situation at a high level. Bradley Beal, yes, he's been to playoff situations. There's only one other person on this team. Excuse me. There's only one other person in the top three that's been to an NBA Finals. That's D-Book. They're going to give the ball to D-Book and say, take us to the promised land. Now, the question is, now we're looking at the youngest of the three holding down the fort.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in that next? Are you in that top tier status or not, buddy?
Are you in that top tier status or not?
Prove it.
Prove it.
Show me.
All right, y'all. We out of here. That was a fun one.
It was.
That was a fun one. If like I said, man, we appreciate all y'all. We love y'all. Subscribe. Show love to the pod. Whether on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcast, you name it, man. We appreciate you. We love you. As always,
Google's getting rid of Google Podcasts.
They're just gonna call it Google?
Nah, they're putting it with YouTube. Or YouTube Music. It's gonna have Google Podcast in it.
Really?
In 2020. So you got a few months on Google Podcast.
Yeah, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. I didn't know about that at all. We out of here. We out of here. As always, easy to breathe the game. Be safe. We love you. We out.
Work.
Yes, sir.
That was a good one.
Two-man game. Thanks for watching.